There we go, Sam Valentine. Thank you so much for appearing on this podcast. We're going to hang out today and get to know each other. And
Awesome.
in return, the world will even get to know more stories about you.
Ah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm so glad. I keep this light. I keep it, spontaneous. I just want to do it as a give back, which is why I invited you as a guest, because I love strong women who give back to this industry and inspire other artists.
Yeah, me too. Me
I
too.
love it. So, you know what? There's so much information about you out there and then the give back that you're doing, but do we know how you got started? Do we know the nitty-gritty? Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So, if anyone's never, if they're like, who is this girl? Am I supposed to know who she is? Yeah, I'm an actor in Los Angeles. I have been here for almost, next month is actually 12 years. So, which is crazy. And, I'm from all over the Midwest and I got to LA and I had never paid for parking before and I had no idea what I was doing. And I had a theater degree and I was like, this town is so gonna this is gonna eat me up. I'm gonna be just so popular. And then I had no idea like how to connect any of the dots to use my training to do anything. I didn't understand how the film and TV business worked. To be honest, I think it's changed so much since I've gotten here that I'm still figuring it out. But yeah, so then I had some ups and downs initially and
How did you start? Because,
yeah.
I'm a college graduate too with a theater program. They do not prepare you. I don't even know if they prepare you now. I don't think there's a program for it.
Yeah.
So, I finagled my way of making my connections. What was your first little baby step of figuring out how to get that agent or that manager or one connection that led to another connection? Because guys out there, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, it so is. And it's something I realized you only see in retrospect. It's not something you feel in the day to day, which is I'm just now figuring that out, that a career only looks like a career when you stop and turn around and look at all of the places you were, not when you're like, I'm sitting at my desk today and I painted my nails and now I'm going to do a podcast. Like it doesn't feel like a career until you stop and look back. So I actually did, my school did a senior showcase, which I'm really grateful for. And they did one in Los Angeles, and which is great because it was the second year I think they did it. So it was still pretty new. And from that senior showcase, we did mailings, which was when you met. So old school. So old school. It was like my headshot, resume, a DVD of some of my work in like an envelope that cost like, $3 or $4 to mail. And we did big mailings before our showcase. And one of the places I went that didn't end up coming to the showcase, but they saw my stuff. They're like, do you want to come in and audition? And so I got off the plane in Los Angeles for the first time to do my senior showcase and went directly to an agent's office to an audition.
Oh my
And
God,
I
that's the way to
thought, yeah, I was like, I've gamed the system. I
Yeah,
have it
I
figured out.
got
I
it.
always knew I was special. Like, this is it. Cut to like that agent, although they signed me, turned out to be exceptionally toxic and it was a really bad
I
relationship. But that
laugh
was
at
my,
it, but.
yeah, but I didn't know better at the time. That's why I'm like, I want to talk about it now. But I signed with them and ended up working with them for a while. After my showcase, they signed me and I said, I'm still graduating college. Can I come back in 3 months when I finish and sign with you guys? And they said yes. So I got to LA with two agents. And I also, there was a voiceover agent who met me at my showcase and he signed me as well. So I signed with my commercial agent and voiceover agent as soon as I got to LA. And I thought, like, this is it. And then nothing happened. And I panicked and I had my tar toed and I was worried about money and all of the things constantly. And it was only after, I think it took me 10 months of auditioning commercially to finally book my first obviously non-union commercial job from an office in 200 South La Brea. Mel and Liz casting, they're still casting. They're
That's
so
200 South
sweet.
La Brea. Oh my gosh, that's the busiest place in town.
Yeah, that was a fun. I have so many
We'll give a
memories from
shout out
there.
right here to Ross Lacey. Hey, Ross.
Yeah, they do great stuff over there, man. And I was like, this is it. Okay, I got one down. And then it was like, oh, and then crickets again. I was like, but also, wait, I came here for film and TV. Where is that? And that was a whole nother bag of worms to get into. So it's just been doing the next step in front of me every single time I've gotten somewhere. And I still feel like I have a long way to go.
Well, it is a long haul, but I think what actors don't know is what to do first. And I think people get so caught up, and so different now, because now you have to have the electronic package that you're ready to go, and you're not having that interaction, and you're not meeting, you know, you're not getting, in the old days when I was an actress, I would find out about projects. I was so gutsy and ballsy, and I still believe everybody has to be that way now, and however that capacity takes, you know, shape. But I would find out about projects. I drive over to Warner Brothers. I mean, talk about selfless belief in yourself. I mean, or just ballsy ridiculousness. Yeah. I would find out where the office was. I would pay people on their carts to take me to that office. I would pretend that I was next door and maneuver my way in. I did whatever it took to create that. And I think you have that energy to, you know, to instill upon actors, you got to be gutsy. You got to be ballsy. You got to be courteously aggressive out there, or no one is going to see you or know you exist. And I'm sure you felt this way too, that, you know, when people don't call you in, it's not because they don't like you. They don't know you're here. They don't even know you're in the universe.
Yeah.
So I segue, but what was the first thing? So you got off that plane. Was your showcase in a theater here?
It was at the Hudson Theater on Santa Monica.
Oh my God. So many memories. I did the show Grandma Sylvia's Funeral there at that theater. That was so many years ago. Anyway.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah, it's a staple, right? It's like it's a classic. I was there a few years ago for a alumni talk back, which was a very weird feeling to be on the other side of things. And now actors ask me questions and I'm like, let me tell you that it's going to be a lot longer than you think it is.
Well, that's what I love about your stuff and Rumble, you know, One Broke Actress and this podcast that you've developed, because you tell it like it is. It's not always, you know, cheerful, and, you know, it's just from the guts. And I think that all actors, and we'll segue back to, you know, your process after not working for 10 months and what you did, because for me, and I can only go by that, is just finding a community, you know, actors to hang out with, who they know, asking for everything. So what did you do after that? You know, you didn't, after that one, you know, commercial, and then what?
Yeah, I got back in class because I realized that my training that I thought was, I was done. I thought when I graduated with a college degree, I'm done. I'm a trained actor. I just need to work projects now. And I do still believe that being on set is the best learning experience you can possibly have. But you have to do a lot of learning before you are allowed to have that grad school of an education. So I rejoined. I think I've been in almost every class Los Angeles has to offer. I'm just jumped around a lot of places.
That's not true. You have not been in my studio.
I did not take your studio. That's right.
You have not made it my studio. So
that's right. Okay. Not yet. Not yet. Who knows? Listen, I never say I'm totally open to like new things, but that I had to go in and, you know, I remember my first acting class back, and I had a casting that was taught by a casting director at the time. And he said to me, "Oh, I see. You've gotten away with just being cute." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" He saw right through me, and he saw that I had not developed a lot of the skills I needed to function in this business. I booked some commercials because I fit the demographic, because I was cute, because whatever it was. Sure, did I do a good job at the audition? Definitely, or else they wouldn't have hired me. But also, I have been rewarded a lot of my early career for bad behavior. So there was a movie I booked because they loved how I started the scene, like in charge, not saying a word, but it's because I didn't know my lines. And you know, it turned out well for me in that one. But like, I also, a lot of the voiceover work I did, they liked my voice at the time, but I had vocal nodes, and I would go out with my friends and have drinks and not really take care of myself. And that, like, I had a really raspy voice because of that. So I would book jobs, but then I couldn't sustain it in the voiceover booth. So there was a lot of early bad behavior that was rewarded. And I thought, well, this just comes really easy to me. But what I didn't realize was the long-term effects of all the things I was doing, and thinking that I was anywhere near, I think everyone's special, but also thinking you're the exception and not the rule doesn't bode well in this business, because you don't make good contacts and act like a friend to everyone and absorb information everywhere you can find it. And I had to learn a lot of hard lessons to find out that I'm not the rule. I'm not the exception. I need to buckle in and learn new skills and constantly keep up, and also be a friend to other actors in this business. Because what you said is so true. Because it's so hard. This job is so hard, and it gets really lonely because you do everything by yourself. Even when you book a role, yes, there's other people on set with you, but you're the only person who's that role. It's not like when you work at a store or retail or something and everyone else also works for that store and you guys have the same job. Every job is so nuanced and so specific, and every audition is like, now it's very much you alone in your house. You're alone in your car going somewhere. It gets very lonely. And if you don't have people to bounce this stuff off of, I don't think you can sustain it. And I think it's that and money is the death of a lot of actor careers.
Yeah, it's very important for actors to have other financial means coming in, because that is part of this dedication to the process, that you have to sustain being in a community. You don't have to be in acting classes. Mm-hmm. It just makes your soul happier and it makes you better. And that's up to you. But what it does is get you away from that isolation. And now, because of COVID and everything, it's more isolated than it's ever been, except for, you know, in person and on Zoom. There's a community on Zoom too. There's a connection. You don't feel as alone.
No, totally. And I thought that was impossible. I remember when the pandemic first hit and my acting class moved to Zoom, and I was like, this is never gonna work. But I'll stay here just to see everyone once a week. And I'm so thankful that I stayed in it, because I learned so much about acting on this platform. I learned how to use this platform. And now I run my community through this platform. So I have actors from across the country that meet a couple times a month. And I mean, we just had a meeting right before this, and one of my actors like signed with her dream voiceover agent. And it was like we all signed with our dream agent. Like that the kind of support and feeling we feel from these Zoom rooms can, although it's not the same, it can be similar to what we were missing. And I think anyone who thinks that to be an artist, you need to be lonely or you need to be struggling or broke is like, I'm so over that. Like I am so much more creative and happy and fulfilled because I have multiple businesses. I have multiple streams of income. And we were taught early on, and I was at least, that you need to, like, if you're only making money from acting, then like that's the mark of a successful actor. And I just want to say, like, I don't know, can you curse on here?
Yeah. What?
Like, that's total bullshit. It's total bullshit, because every actor has multiple streams of income, whether or not you can see it. They have money coming from different places. And so the shame associated with having side jobs or side businesses, I would like to eradicate from the world, because it's made it possible for me to still be an actor. I run a podcast production company, and it's like, if I didn't have One Broke Actress as a full company, I couldn't be doing this right now, especially with the impending writer's strike. I haven't had an audition in like 6 weeks. Like, let's get real. This business is so up and down. You have to like have your financial base built for yourself.
Oh my God, for everybody, I coach a lot of famous people, and they go through very long dry spells too. So it's the cycle of the actor. But I just want to address what you're saying, that you have to be supportive to other actors. When in my acting career, I had this one friend, never say the name, but whenever there was an audition, she would freak out and just be so silent, wouldn't share it with me. So and it just created such a riff and a weird thing. And I think it's very important that if you're going in for something, tell a friend. Because who do you want to get that role besides you? Your friend. There, it's not going to deplete you from sharing information. It actually puts it out into the universe and that energy, and brings back more good stuff for yourself by sharing with others.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I can't tell you the amount of times I've read a pilot. I'm like, oh my God, this is perfect for Sabina or someone I know. And I send the pilot to her, and I'm like, hey, I don't know if your reps are submitting you for this, but I can't stop thinking for this and you in this role. That to me is like, that's the inevitable goal, right? Because don't we all just want to work with our friends? And so I assume that at some point, someone's going to do the same thing for me. They're going to read a script and be like, this is so Sam. Or they're going to write a script and be like, this is such a good role for you. Do you want to do it? Like, I'm still waiting for those emails to roll in, but like,
Yeah, but
it's
honestly,
inevitable.
in the work that you're doing, because you're in the give back and you're being of service. So by being of service to the world, it creates people are talking about you, people are thinking about you, people you put yourself on their radar not by being selfish, but by by helping other actors. And that probably makes you a more internally sparkly individual as well, because you feel so purposeful and you found a voice that you don't have to isolate about. And let me just say one other thing about, yes, you guys, as actors, there's such cool jobs out there that you can do as actor. You can be a lawyer. You can be in sales. You can be making so much freaking money in sales by using your artistry. So don't limit yourself. And I think Sam agrees on that.
100%. And I mean, I started a business catered to actors and I was like, well, they can't spend, I can't do this. This, we don't have a lot of money. They don't have, and people, that's why there's different levels that people do what they can't. There's different, there is a lid for every pot. There's a community for every actor and there is a good job out there. And I think the thing about, I can come back to community and giving back, but in terms of jobs, I think this is so important because it's so hard, especially, I mean, I'm sure you guys are seeing it right now. It's so quiet right now with the whole writer's strike, with the changing of the streaming platforms. Everyone's worried about money, recession, whatever. It's not the booming business it was in 2021, right after the pandemic, that snapped back. And we'll get there again. It'll happen again.
Everything's a cycle.
But like the ability to sustain and stay here through that, or take a break and come back, but be able to maintain what you do best is, it's very expensive. It's expensive to still pay for all of the websites, even though you're not getting auditions. It is expensive to maintain your day-to-day life, even though you feel like you're paying to be an expensive city for no reason. And that it costs so much money to be available.
Yeah.
It's so expensive. And I don't know.
And yet you need to. That's
you
the
need
problem.
To.
Yeah,
you need to. But I think there's an old model of like, you need to be a server or be a babysitter or be a, and that's great if you love it. I loved being a babysitter. I did it for years and years and years. At a certain point though, I did hit a cap where my brain kept telling me, we're almost done here. We're hitting a timeline of which you have to start making more money, or we're hitting a timeline where I feel like I can't do this side job anymore, which is making me think that it's time for me to quit acting. But what it really was is time for me to get a different job because it was stealing my energy and making and not making nearly enough money to sustain my life. And so when I thought about quitting acting, I got really sad. But when I thought about upleveling my job, I got really excited. And that was a huge note for me to take. And I thought, well, I don't have to quit this business. I just need to reroute where my energy goes for a while. And COVID was a gift to me in that way. It was really hard, really horrible. We lost so many good people and we lost a lot of good actors, unfortunately. Also just to moving away from this business because they couldn't sustain it for that time. But I hope they come back. And I also hope that people can see that the things that they did get out of that big pause. And what I got was time. I got a moment to breathe, to realize what I wanted to do, to reroute. And I started building my businesses, which is crazy. I don't think I'm an entrepreneur. I don't know what's going on here, but all of a sudden here we are.
Here we are. You know what I mean?
And it's great.
You have to be open to everything that's going to come your way. And my big word is always to pivot. So for my studio, I already had online classes. So there was no stopping. It just flowed right in. There was never a day off. It just tripled. It was wonderful. But as you're saying about those jobs, I agree, because you don't have to define yourself. If you're a bartender, then you're an actor. That's bullshit. You know what I mean? So it's very, very important. And in my acting days, I was a waitress. I loved it. I worked at frickin' Froman's Deli, which is now a different deli, whatever. I worked at every deli in Los Angeles, but I love the manicness of it because I'm a hyper personality. So I could handle these 10 tables and be yelling at customers and it filled me until it didn't. Until it depressed the shit out of me. And And what's so important is that you don't have to, and you said this, and I'm just reiterating, you don't have to have those kind of menial jobs. You can have better jobs and still be a freaking amazing actor.
Yeah. Yeah. And we also live in this weird society that says at this age, you should have this. And then at this age, you should have it. And by the way, if you're in your mid to late 30s, 40s, 50s, you can't change your job. That's not what we do around here. And it's just trash. It's just so stupid because I know so many people who changed their jobs in their 50s and they're so much happier in their 60s, 70s, 80s. Because they changed their life that they thought they were glued to. And I don't want to do that. I want to be fluid and I want to, I love change. I always love changing jobs. Now I'm pretty set because I have to own these companies, but I do things that I love with people I really enjoy. And because I built these businesses, I get to hire actors, which is really cool. So like,
it's a
dream.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. So One Broke Actress is its company now. I have a class. What you said about how schools don't really prepare you for this lifestyle and like what's actually involved in it, I agreed. So I created that class. So it's called the Working Actor Workshop. And we talk about where to put your energy when you first make a move and like when to join the websites, when to worry about this, and like a slow roll of the movement, what actually money looks like in these towns, how far acting can actually get you versus having a real job, networking versus agents versus all that stuff. We cover it all.
Great.
And
fantastic.
I'm really excited about it. And I've done it quite a few times now and it always sells out. So I'm rerouting it to where I can fit more people in. So that'll be like, I'm going to re-release it in the fall, I think. But I also have like a membership that has different groups and tiers and like bonus content. And
yeah, you didn't know you were an entrepreneur. You didn't know you were a businesswoman.
I had no idea. No idea.
It's so exciting.
It is. And it makes it a hell of a lot easier to get up in the morning because it's not based on whether or not I get an audition from someone else's permission. It's stuff that I'm doing. And it'll lead to the cool thing about One Broke Actress is, so I have that in of itself. And then I have a podcast production company called Fast Forward, and it's female forward podcasts. And we produce all their podcasts. We do all the editing, all the back end, all the posting. And we do socials and stuff like that. And because I love podcasts, I've always have.
Yeah.
And that intertwining that world of learning about podcasting, I thought I would have to be an audio engineer to have a podcast production company. You don't. You just have to really love this stuff and hire the people who do know how to do the things.
No, you have a good mic. I'm sitting in my taping room. I don't even have a mic on. I'm like, I had a mic. It's in the other. I just didn't even hook it up. I'm just
but
like,
you know, but that's the gift of podcasting too, is that like, it doesn't have to be perfect. If your content is good, like the only people who care about the quality are people who are like audio engineers, and they can honestly, there's such a small percentage. We can't play to that percentage. So it's the same. So that has brought me so much joy and a steady income. And I got to hire actors to do the work. And the cool thing is that then I can make it work for them. So my editor, who's also my assistant for One Broke Actress, she booked her first paid gig since moving to LA. I'm so proud of her. Her name is Deandra and she's amazing. And she booked her first movie and she messaged me and said, I booked a movie. It's 10 days of shooting. And I said, great. Tell me exactly what we need to do to make sure we don't bother you during those 10 days. And I get to make the company fit an artist's schedule. And I tell all my clients, I employ creatives. We have crazy schedules. So we ask for things in advance. We hedge our bets. So everything is ready early instead of late. And I love that we're creating opportunities for people to live that lifestyle, which just brings me joy. And SAG-AFTRA now has a podcast agreement. So my personal podcast is now a SAG-AFTRA podcast. I signed a contract with them.
Amazing.
And it's so cool. And I get to pay into my own health and pension. So my company is actually supporting my acting career in that at the end of this year, I will have qualified for health insurance for the first time, not because of somebody else's choice, but because of my own business.
So good.
It's cool, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. It's so good. I mean, when I was an actress, I never knew I was going to have a huge business. Who knows? But it's such an invigorating feeling. But how has it affected your work as an actress? Hasn't it made you better?
Yeah. Oh God. My listening skills are so much better than they used to be.
And the needy feeling is so much less probably. You don't have the needy. You have creative.
Yeah. And listen, there are still times that needy feeling comes in because I feel the need. It's another layer of an issue I have to deal with One Broke Actress is that I do feel the need to book to prove that things are working sometimes. I get pressure.
I hear that.
Yeah. And I'm sure you feel it too. Like you want to have street cred. You want to show proof that like, I swear this is right. I swear the things I'm doing are working. Like, I promise you guys, I know what's happening. But I love that I get to share that it's been so like my last time on set was September of 2021 on a film TV set. I booked a commercial last month, but like on film TV, I haven't since September of 2021. It's right. April okay. of 2023. Yeah. So I haven't booked a film or TV show in almost 2 years, but that's also important to say. And almost more, I think that's more relatable, to be honest.
I agree. That's what I'm saying. All your information. Let me fix my chair. Just kind of. It's just so much more relatable because that is the truth. Sometimes you'll work, and I talked about, I think I did a post about the actor cycle, because sometimes you'll be right on your course and your agents and your managers and you're having that flow and you're getting the callbacks and you're booking jobs, and all of a sudden, screeching death, dead silence. And I've been through it, so I know how to help people. And as for you said about me, you know, worried about that, not after 18 years. I mean, the proof's in the pudding and everyone just books like crazy or gets even better as actors. It's actually, you know, a coach's job is not to get you the job. It's just to make you, you know, better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What would you say would be some tangible takeaways for actors then in that capacity? How you're like hearing someone who hasn't like booked in 2 years, for example, it's exhausting, but I know it's coming. I know the next thing is going to be around the corner.
It's about your mindset. It's about staying in your love of the craft, in your, you know, creative artistry, and keep reading and creating and finding new outlets, you know, in theater pieces, film pieces, whatever, but not to base yourself, because it's just a normalcy. It's normal. Like, I have a client who his series got canceled during COVID and he did not book a job for a year and a half, but he was in here weekly coaching until he got something even bigger that covered all that time. But his mindset was so like, I'm a little nervous, but not that nervous, because I know. And it's that inner, deep, deep belief that your time is going to change that cycle. It's coming. But then listen, sometimes it doesn't. Of course, we feel that it's going to, and then sometimes it'll take 5 years. If you can sustain it and be happy, because the most important part of you of being alive in this world is to be happy. And to surround yourself with positive people and to have relationships and to have travel. And if you stop doing that and are just hanging on to your cell phone, then you need to change and you do need to leave. And then you do need to, you know, you just need to have a good life. That at the end of the day, that tops everything.
Yeah. And it's so, I love that so much. I think it also, that mindset of creating your own world is so huge, because I'm realizing as I get older, I'm also in this weird category where I'm like, I'm not playing college anymore, but I'm not quite someone's mom yet. So like, maybe I won't book for 2 more years. I don't know, but I'm so down to ride this wave right now. Some days are hard. Some days are hard and I have to acknowledge those days, but the good ones heavily outweigh the bad. And that to me is a sign to just keep moving forward and to share it, right? Because it's so, we get so used to these actor booking stories of like, they did X, Y, and Z, and then they just couldn't stop booking. And I'm like, I don't think that that's true. I think that they had some good things happening in a row and then things probably got quiet again. And then something else happened.
1,000,000%. I work with a lot of well-known people, so I'm going to testify 1,000,000%. That they flowed and then they didn't. And then they were on the verge of quitting too. Oh, you know what? And I can tell this story because Darren, Amy Adams' husband, came into class and he's directing. So he came in to teach. And he was telling the story before Amy got Junebug. She hadn't worked for 2 years and she was ready to quit. She was like, I'm out. I don't want to do it. And then she sustained it. So you never, ever know. Because if you're dedicated, and you're working your craft at home with friends and classes, whatever, and you're staying in that mindset, brain set, heart set, and you're creating it, and you're pushing your team, and you're changing your team if your team's not working, and you're staying in the number one belief of yourself, you will bring it to you. You have to do it yourself. You can't wait for anybody else to do it. Yeah. You just can't.
Yeah, because even when, like, I know people who have won Emmys and they're not happy. Like, it doesn't,
really?
If I can't wait until someone gives me permission to start making good money or start living the life I want to live. Or, like, I mean, a couple years ago, I was like, I want to put blonde streaks in my hair. And it was like a big choice. And I thought I would have to be like, wait, it's like a totally different person. No, it's something I wanted for so long. And I just didn't think I had earned it or deserved it
no.
or whatever. And it's like the stupid stuff. I will say that I think as actors, though, we do get a little, what's the word I'm looking for? When we like something goes right and we want to like recreate all of those conditions, we get very, it starts with an S. What's the word I'm looking for?
Stuck?
No,
Stuck?
we're like, we have like a lucky water bottle and we have like, this is, honestly, yes. I cannot think of the word I'm thinking of.
That's okay. You'll think of it when we move on from it, but
I, for sure. But it's, you know, as soon as something we're like, okay, well, if we do everything in this capacity on this self-tape drop, like background with these coaches, then it means we will book. And then we have some success. And then when the success stops, we all panic and we're like, I had it and I lost it. And yeah, it's like, how do I recreate it again? And then we're reaching for things that
That's
don't work
trap.
Anymore.
That's the trap.
Yeah.
By
yeah.
trying to use the word to recreate it, because acting is energy. It's your energy. It's what your energy is and how life has affected you. And your energy is going to change amongst, you know, how time affects you, right? So if you try to go back to the old energy, not authentic, not real, hence not ever going to book. Being truthful to your authentic energy is what's going to get you the next job, because your isms, what makes you, is going to shine through more than anybody else. So you're not watching yourself. You're not thinking about your hair. You're not thinking about how much I have too much mascara on at the moment. Oh, I got a piece of lipstick on my tooth. You know what I mean? You're
yeah.
living in the artistry. So people that do that, they just push through. You
yeah.
can't. And plus this whole, to me, it's all bullshit about types. I have an issue about it because I don't know if it brings me back to high school about being judged and, you know, rated by your type or what you look like. Because I truly think if everyone, every actor needs to be like, fuck it, I'm an actress. I'm going in for this role. I'm going to do my life and my character. I'm going to do this role. I'm going to be me in the life of that character. And when you stop putting so much energy on the outside, then all that freaking awesomeness comes out from the inside. And that's what makes you special.
Yeah. Oh,
no,
I love that.
Tangent, but I just did.
No, I love that. Because, you know, I talk to actors a lot about like headshots, because we often want to change our headshots because it's something tangible we can change and do. But half the time I'm like, I'm not sure if you need this, because I think there's a few times that you need to change your headshots. Obviously, if they're bad, if we have like your first headshots are going to be bad. Let's just allow it, like call a spade, you have to have bad ones so you have good ones later. But there, you know, other than that, apart from like aging, growing up, those type of things, making a huge change. Like if I shaved my head, I would get new headshots. But like if I cut 3 inches off my hair, I'm not going to get new headshots. And I also tell them when a big life event happens that changes your energy, that I think is a new time to get headshots. So my friends who've had kids, I'm like, you're a different person than you were before you had a kid. My friends who lost someone really close to them, it's like you walk around the world differently. You have different gravitas. And I think that is a time, obviously not right away. Obviously you'd like do it later, but like to recheck in and see if these pictures still represent you. I think almost everyone probably has new headshots since COVID, because we're different people than we were then, you know, like that kind of time.
I think you also know, but as you get more involved as an actor, you become more involved in who you are. So you become more involved in what is going to resonate out. So for me, for pictures, though, I'm totally old school. Like, have one for drama that has, you know, some secrets and seriousness to it with real thought, that you're imagining, you know, something and you're looking at somebody. Mm-hmm. And then a quirkier version, a real, grounded, but quirkier for comedy. That's for me. I mean, when people are doing these outside stuff, I'm not into it. But hey, that's just me. I mean, a lot of agents want that. I just don't think that's going to get you the job at all.
Yeah, something I harp on is, like, I think there's a reason we use the word wardrobe and not costume when we talk about the clothes actors wear, is because when you're shooting your headshots, I think you should be in your wardrobe, not a costume.
Correct.
So you don't want to play a cop, but I'm like, if you feel like you are a heavier energy and you want to be a lawyer in a scene, that's great, but I'm so much more interested in you wearing your clothes. Because as I had an actress once come in, she was like, what do you think of this headshot? And I was like, it kind of looks like you're in your mom's blazer. And she was like, how'd you know that is my mom's blazer? I was like, because it doesn't, well, one, it doesn't fit you, but two, you look uncomfortable. And I was like, the thought behind your eyes doesn't look like someone who's a lawyer.
Right.
It looks like someone who's like nerd. Like, I was like, what
an
was your
idea?
I was like, what's your character in this scene? And like, if I was like, it's fun when you get to act in your headshots. That's so fun. And you should be, you're not acting like a caricature. You're acting like you would in a scene. So like, if you're a lawyer who's on Succession and you're thinking about, you know, your client who is, you know, filing for a $1 billion lawsuit, it's a very different look behind the eyes than a paralegal in like a Doritos commercial, you know?
Which is not, you could still be wearing a t-shirt and have that same look. Of course, you want to enhance it a little bit, but whatever makes you comfortable. Because I know for me, years ago, I could not wear button down or a uniform to make me feel the character. I had to wear my own garb, and I would totally book those jobs because it wasn't about what you're wearing. It's about the work, always. I want to put this on pause for 1 second because my computer is going to, I got to go in my other room. So the whole look at it. Bottom line, actors, take care of yourself. What feels right for you is going to be right for you. What feels right for somebody else is going to be right for somebody else. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think the same thing is true about acting classes. I think the same thing is true about the way you approach the business. I know some people who are very much in the world of, you know, I think I need to stop taking class or training or whatever for like 2 months and come back to it with excitement. Or I need to, like, I recently switched from ongoing classes to seeing a coach and also taking an improv class, something that has nothing to do with the work that I've done thus far, but just to shake things loose. And yeah, and the beginner mindset is huge for me. It's really important to me to always go into a place and say, what do I not know? Because it did not prove me well in my early life to go into any room and assume that I was the smartest person in the room. And I've only learned more things by going, even if I think people are wrong.
Exactly. You know, no one cares about your opinion if you think they're wrong. Just be gracious. You can have your inner thoughts. Use it in the work.
Totally.
Okay, that conversation maybe had so much inner turmoil. I'm going to use that moment, you know.
Oh my God, huge.
I'm going to address acting classes because I do think at the beginning of your career, you should be. Because in college, and I do believe in college big time, it's the best years of your life. You want that education. You want to get to know yourself. I think it's really important. Not everybody goes to college, but I can only go by my experience. And I think it's a very, and it's your informative years. But when you first get out, it's very important because in schools, you don't learn the television adjustments. And then to, you know, float around and find different places that the vibe is right for you is very important. If you need to take a break, take that break. But when people say there's one studio, this is the way, that is such crap beyond crap. Because, you know, it's all the same. Acting is all the same. It stems from the group theater, Stanislavski. It stems from all those people, Meisner, and all those people that shut, you know, that spread out from the group theater for imagination and personalization. And then from there, you know, the world that we have here for television auditioning, it's all the same. Getting to the truth and finding all the quirks and the beautifulness in each, you know, each little dance that you do. So if you find a studio that works for you for that, do it. But there's no one way. And of course, you know, come on over to my studio. That's great. But, you know, I would never force anybody to do anything. I just want everybody working, everyone to get better.
I love that you said that, because I can't tell you how many acting coaches I had along the way that emphasized things like loyalty to a program and things like that. And it makes me, please, more of this, because it makes me so bummed, because then I talk to actors and they're like, well, I'm not ready yet. And I was like, what do you mean you're not ready? And they're like, well, I'm only in like this level of my actor class. I'm like, I don't understand. This is like, it feels like a money grab, but also it puts people in this box to where the thing that's validated is but going to the same place and doing the same things in front of the same people. And I'm like, there is so much that you get from going and performing in front of new people that is important. And that beginner mindset of coming here and being like, what can I learn in this space? What can I take from this person? What can I, you know, that's why I think actors should have lots of different coaches for auditions, because also people are really busy and you can't always book them last minute, but there's so much that people have to offer from based on their own life experiences, that only getting one thing from one class with the same people, you're going to get a skewed opinion, and you're not going to get, I'm not that opinions matter that much sometimes, but you start to perform for your acting coach or for your fellow students instead of your performance. You start to like act for that acting coach, especially. I see that a lot with actors. They're like, my coach would say, and I'm like, but what do you think?
Wrong coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's an exploration, and it's about the coach being the third eye and giving the fine tuning of their impulses, but seeing that opening moment, seeing the little juicy little flips in there if it's a comedy, seeing the little nuances. So if the coach is saying, if they're saying that, that means the coach is telling them what to do. And there has to be a camaraderie about that. And if there's not, it's going to make the actor feel separate from their own impulses. And you can't deny your own impulses, because the work is coming from you and your life experiences.
Yeah. How do you tell people to best show up for a coaching session?
I don't tell them anything. They book a coaching session. I assume they're going to be prepared, which means they know the lines pretty much. Mm-hmm. And they've thought about the character, and then we shape it. So I don't do that. I feel like people know they want to book a coaching taping, you know, with me. So they want to sculpt it and do it, but they've worked on it. Now, there are some greener actors through other people that have heard about me that have booked in, and they're like, oh yeah, I didn't really work on it yet. And then my mind just goes, I'm not a miracle worker. You have to absorb this material way many more hours before the 1 hour we have together. So I do the best I can, you know, but the best I can. Because I know the material better than they do, but you have to, as an actor, come prepared. You don't necessarily have to be fully off book, but you have to know it enough so you can be malleable and work. Like, I am working with Laura Bell Bundy right now through her next Broadway show. Guess what? She is going to be off book. She's, you know, and it's a farce. It's not even a musical. It's a farce. But we're going to have every beat, every behavior, every thought sculpted before she even gets to rehearsal with Jason Alexander.
Oh, that's so fun.
But that's what all actors, when you get an audition, sit with it, absorb it, go over some of the steps that are in my book or whatever you've learned from other coaches that give you a better arcing of it. Write out your thoughts for sure, what and how you feel about the other person, and embody it a little bit, and then come in for a coaching, because you can't get coached if you haven't worked on it first.
Yeah, I think that's huge too, because I didn't know that when I first started working with a coach a couple of years ago. I didn't understand, or like having a coach specifically for auditions. Right. I didn't know, because no one had ever told me. They're like, yeah, you coach for auditions. I was like, yeah, cool. Got an audition, book a coaching session a couple hours from now. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that was the step, because it's also like there's this unspoken step of like going from like acting class to coaching that's so like no one talks about this like
really?
Middle
that's
area.
So funny to me. I've been doing it for so many years. I that's really
Yeah, no one tells actors, by the way, like you should be coaching for auditions, I think, specifically. Because, but also I don't think every audition needs a coach necessarily. I think you
Unless you
know,
want it, if the
unless you
actor
want
wants
it. Yeah.
it.
If you get help from that, like there are certain like co-stars that's like, can I get you a coffee? Like, I don't need a coach for that. But someone who's really nervous about a co-star and unsure if they're on what they're doing, then like I wish that I would have taken advantage of that when I was younger. But I assumed when I was new, so this was before podcasts, so I couldn't have this information, that coaching was for series regulars or coaching was for people who had already booked and they were getting ready for set. I didn't realize that it was something I could just use a second set of eyes to make sure I took everything from the script or from the breakdown that I could find and made my character work for me.
It's a third eye. And I've had people that come in with one line. I'm like, are you sure? And what happens from that one line? They have a stronger opening moment, a middle, and an end. So there's a whole full arc of that scene. So I think what actors need to know, though, and I know we're just talking, but I
Yeah.
think one of the most important parts of that, of your audition and taping, is your opening moment. So if you have that, it's gonna, and the relationships, it's gonna really help. But also, it's really important as a coach to match the pacing of the genre that you're going in for. Because a lot of people will do an indie read for a comedy. And I'm like, what? They'll do an indie read for a procedural. So you have to really know the genres because it is particular to the pacing and the diction and the relay. It's just different. It's also
Yeah.
different. It helps to have that third eye to know. And it also helps to let you know if you're really dropping in and under, because sometimes actors feel like, oh, I'm really connected, but it's not reading that way.
Yeah.
So that is really important because the most nuanced, layered, connected read is going to be the one that pulls your audience, in. That's my advice.
Yeah.
But
No,
come
I think that's huge.
prepared. Preparation is everything. You need to be one step ahead as actors always in
Yeah.
everything that you do.
And
Read,
we'll also.
read, read, read. And actors forget to read plays. They forget to read good theater books. They forget to read, scripts that come out. Get pilots. Get things that are being written. Just read. Absorb it. And the more you read it, the better you're going to get.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Sorry. I have three dogs, so they're going to make an appearance.
I saw a video you did with those three dogs. They're so cute.
They're so cute. They're a lot.
Here they are. Thank you. They're coming in the room too. I see two. Go ahead.
That's two out of three.
Oh, here it comes. I see.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Everyone's situated. But what did you just say that I really wanted to say something about? You said something about
Preparation, pretty much.
preparation. And I think, oh no, I love this job is so rad because our homework is watching stuff and reading stuff. Like, what a cool gift. And, in a time like I'm talking about right now that there's not a lot going on, I'm in an interesting place because I built businesses that can kind of run without me. I'm not working 9 to 5. I'm not in them, and I built them that way. So I work a couple hours here, a couple hours there, check in, email, whatever. And so I have space to do things and to create things. And that space ideally is for acting, right? Or whatever rolls in or whatever happens. And that hasn't been happening these past couple of weeks, months, whatever. And so I'm like, well, there's a lot of content I haven't watched. There's a lot of things I haven't seen. I read for a play the other day, which was cool that I've not done that in LA in like 10 years. So
I love it.
I'm figuring this out because this was a big, I'm not good with free time. I think a lot of actors aren't. I think we like to give ourselves assignments. I think actors, the
I agree.
lazy actor, quote unquote, is a terrible like trope because I think most actors are actually like hyper vigilant.
Totally.
But I think some of us can let ourselves off the hook a little bit in terms of like if you're listening to this actor podcast as your free time, you're probably someone who's doing the work. You're probably someone who's keeping an eye on content, who's absorbing new things when you can too, because I know a lot of people are running around from job to job. And so right now I have some pockets of time. I'm watching Poker Face. It's really good. I haven't been streaming on Peacock lately.
Have you watched my client, Daniel McDonald, on the third episode? Did you watch that episode?
Oh, I'm just finished two. So I'm about to hit three.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, I'm excited. Oh, good. I have some friends in it so far that I'm really, really excited about, but also, it's fun.
Yes. Watching content and putting it on pause and writing out those lines and practicing through that. It's a gift. Mm-hmm. Take advantage of it.
Yeah. And look, I like to read, I like to find the pilot scripts for things. There's a website I use all the time that if actors are like, can I have this? I'll shoot it to them. But it's just like someone's blog and they update it with all scripts and pilots and stuff that they find. And I'll often find a pilot and I'll read it and I'll be like, oh, interesting. This is how, if I have a lot of time, which I haven't had recently, I did this in COVID a couple times, I'll film a scene from it and then I'll go see how it looked. But even if I don't have time, if I can like read a pilot and then go watch it, it's so good for me to see what's in my brain versus what's ends up on the screen, because the way we interpret the words on the page and the pacing and like how it's written and how we think the jokes are played, we can learn so much by seeing what made it onto the screen.
But, okay, yes, but also trust your impulses, because what necessarily gets on screen isn't better. Sometimes it's worse.
Yeah. Yeah. And also is often very different than the audition, which I like to watch that. I know Audrey Helps Actors has been posting a lot of those lately of like auditions and the booking.
I love it. Mm-hmm.
I love it too, because it shows how different, like I've had auditions where I'm like, oh, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have shown this. But then I've had bookings where I audition and I'm like much more like kind, lovely, whatever. And then I get on set and I end up being like kind of a bitch. And that's how they want the character in that scene. But we worry, we get so much in our heads that we didn't present it in the audition. And it's like, they're so much smarter than that.
Because it's all subjective. It's subjective opinions. One person can love your read. One person can think it's eh. One person can love your energy. One person can go eh. So you got to trust it and go for it 1,000,000%. And I always suggest giving two takes, because you don't know what they're thinking. And because it's an audition tape, you can't get that adjustment. And I've had many dinners with showrunners and they love it. They love when you give two takes because they feel helpless too. They want to be like, oh, I like that, but I don't like that, but I don't know them. So I don't know if they're going to be able to do that adjustment. So give them an adjustment, because there's so many ways to skin the cat and tell the story.
Yeah. Oh, I love that advice. That's so good.
Anyway, all right. I love having you here. Let's give three pieces of advice before we leave. This has been a wonderful chat. I hope it's inspired actors out there to stay on your game and get out there and be courteous and aggressive. What would you say to inspire? Three little pieces and then we're out.
Oh, man. Okay. No pressure. Three pieces of advice. One, nobody's thinking about you as much as you're thinking about you.
Cheers to that.
Two, you have to find your happy outside of this business. Mm-hmm. Could be dogs, could be somebody you love, could be running, it could be hiking, it could be drawing. And I would say, okay, those are two. Nobody's thinking about you as much as you're thinking about you. Find your happy outside this business. And, oh, man. Be the emotional person you are. Be the friend who cries too much or laughs too hard or too loud. Be the one who hits all the high notes and the low notes, because I think that makes you a better person. It makes you more malleable and it makes you show up better in the business. Take care of your mental health and all of that. But I think being the emotional person, being the sensitive person gets a bad rap. But man, it makes you so empathetic and makes you show up so much better in this job.
I agree. Vulnerability is your power. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. Stay out there, guys. Stay courteously aggressive and go for those dreams. Don't let anybody sway you from what you believe in yourself. Okay. Thanks, Sam.
That was so fun.